With Joe Biden and Donald Trump leading the polls for their respective parties, some competing candidates in the 2024 presidential election are considering running as independents or with a third party. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dropped out of the Democratic primary, announced he'd run as an independent. Vivek Ramaswamy is still running against Trump in the Republican primary, but he's reportedly getting some interest from the Libertarian Party as a potential nominee. Former U.S. Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming has said in recent interviews she might consider a third-party run. Others who have announced presidential bids outside the two main parties include activist Cornel West and former Green Party candidate Jill Stein. And the political organization No Labels is pursuing a potential third-party candidate. A non-two-party candidate hasn't won a state in a presidential election since 1968, but some see a Trump-Biden rematch as an opportunity to earn votes in 2024. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think third-party candidates could play a role in 2024, should play a role in 2024? Why or why not? Have you ever voted third-party in a presidential or other race? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Eric Lepp is an associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It is my pleasure. Happy December.
Well, I went back to 1968 there. Why don't, in the American system, why don't we tend to see third-party or independent candidates have a lot of success picking up actual electoral college votes in our presidential elections?
Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's the rules of the game. The way American elections works, whoever gets the most votes in a state wins that state. So even if you're Ross Perot in 1992 and you're getting almost one out of five votes, you're not getting the most votes of any candidate in any one state. So unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your view, coming in second place doesn't win you anything in the U.S. So if you're not one of the top two parties getting the most votes, you're not going to have too much electoral success as far as the Electoral College goes.
People might look to parliamentary systems in Europe and elsewhere and see multiple parties in some of those cases and the rules of the game there flourishing, doing well. Is there an argument that it is better or worse to have, in effect, a two-party system versus a multi-party elected government?
Well, like any government question, there are going to be advantages and disadvantages to both. If we were to change some of our election rules to promote more parties, then you have the benefit of maybe more people feel that there's a party that's, you know, a political home for them. Maybe more people feel that there's a group that can identify with. On the other hand, in a democracy, you often need a majority of people to get anything done. So even in multi-party systems, you're going to have more than one party in most cases coming together to form coalition governments or otherwise cooperate to get government policy. So Is it possible that we could do more here to encourage more parties? Absolutely. Does it necessarily lead to more or better outcomes? Not necessarily.
Now, I think every 4 years, there is a series of headlines along the line like, this might be the year, right? This might be the opportunity for third-party candidates to make headway, and they tend not to. But could this be the year? A Trump-Biden rematch seems likely. A lot of polls show people not excited about that rematch potential. Is there somehow room, if it's a Trump-Biden race, for third-party candidates to make headway finally this time around?
Well, I guess it depends a little bit on what your definition of making headway
sure.
is. If we're talking about can they perform better than they typically do, I think the answer is absolutely yes. You know, since Ross Perot, the last time a third-party candidate did really well was Gary Johnson in 2016, where he got between 3 and 4% of the vote. And that was a high watermark, right? And a year where a lot of people were not thrilled with either candidate. So if the idea is if we get more votes than third parties typically do, I think there's a good chance of that in 2024. Does that mean that a third-party candidate is likely to win the White House? Almost certainly not. But there is a middle category, which is it possible for a third party candidate or group or movement to potentially play spoiler and pull just enough votes to change which of the two major party candidates wins? That is certainly possible still at this point.
Before we go into the spoiler argument, I want to give a listen to one of the candidates I mentioned, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an independent candidate. Here he is in an interview with PBS NewsHour. This is from last month, talking about his strategy of targeting specific battleground states in the 2024 election.
All I need to do in those states is get 34% of the vote, and I can walk away with 270 electors. So, you know, because the electors are winner-take-all, and it's assigned by plurality rather than majority.
So if you get the right number of candidates running in a state, we might see people, he argues, grabbing electoral votes because they can pull, you know, 32 instead of worrying about hitting 51 in a two-party race.
Right, absolutely. Although one thing he didn't mention is that to get to 270 votes, either major party candidate not only needs to perform well in enough battleground states, they also need to perform well in those solidly red and blue states, you know, the Wyomings and the New Yorks of the world. So it's not just 8 or 10 battleground states. You need to have a pretty deep bench and core level of support that are in states that don't typically get a lot of attention because we know how they're going to vote. So it's still an uphill battle for third party candidates.
Let's bring out a caller at 800-642-1234. Kathy is with us in Harshaw. Kathy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I feel the political parties that we have today, the Democrats and Republicans, have failed us, that we no longer have representative government. Seems like they represent donors, the wealthy. And, you know, I just as soon do away with both of them. I mean, didn't Thomas Jefferson warn us against political parties and the corruption that could become of it?
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Kathy, not alone, I think, Eric, in frustration with both major parties.
Absolutely. And you're right. Even George Washington, you know, one of his most famous addresses when he left office at the end of his two terms was to warn about what he could see coming, which was these political parties that the framers of the Constitution all talked about in pretty negative terms. And yet we ended up with them less than a decade after the country was formed. So the upside to parties is they help people make sense of the political system, and they bring certain coalitions together, whether that's regional or cultural or different types of economies. So unfortunately, it's probably not the case that both parties can be simply cast aside and we can start fresh. But if you look at both parties throughout American history, they have evolved over time to expand and sometimes contract in their coalitions to try to be responsive to the will of the people such that they can get a majority on election day.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to UW-Whitewater political scientist Eric Lepp about third-party candidates, independent candidates, especially in presidential elections. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Have you supported independent or third-party candidates in the past? Do you think you might in 2024? If it's Biden-Trump, are you looking for none of the above, a different alternative, or do you worry about the spoiler impact of non-two-party candidates? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Eric Lepp, political science professor at UW-Whitewater. He's with us to talk about the role of third-party and independent candidates in presidential elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. On the spoiler issue, Eric, I want to give a listen to a candidate who is figuring out if she can be a successful spoiler, former Wyoming Republican Representative Liz Cheney, talking about running for president if she feels like it could help thwart former President Trump's ambitions in 2024. Here she is in an interview with CBS.
I won't do anything that would help him. When I say I'll do whatever it takes, I mean that we need to look at our politics in a very different way. Hopefully he won't win the Republican nomination, but he may well. It certainly looks like he's headed that direction. If he does, then all of us across party lines have to come together to defeat him next November. And there are a whole range of things we need to do to think anew about nonpartisanship, about voting for the Constitution, not for whatever political party people may be part of.
So the idea of a strategic campaign, maybe to challenge, to get on the ballot in some states to lure votes away from former President Trump. She says she doesn't want to throw the election to him, I think, by running everywhere. I don't know, what do you think about that strategic independent campaign idea, Eric?
It's certainly an intriguing idea. The big question with all of these third-party candidacies is, who are they going to pull votes from? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of hypothesizing in terms of, well, this group's going to pull from Biden voters or this group's going to pull from Trump voters. The truth is right now, we don't really know for sure. So anybody who goes to the trouble of getting on the ballot is going to have to make some educated guesses, but they will still be guesses as to who are they going to appeal to several months later when the actual election comes. So that's the big risk that everybody's running. And you heard former Representative Cheney reference that when she said, the first and foremost, I don't want to do anything to help President Trump get reelected. But beyond that, I'm still thinking about what I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's the question. Who's she going to pull from?
Let's go back to our callers. Mackenzie is with us in Platteville. Mackenzie, hi.
Hi, Rob. I had a comment. I just feel like voting third party might actually be a waste, just given the nature of our elections at this point. And I feel like, you know, erring on the side of human rights, voting for the side that supports human rights and keeping people's rights intact is worth it rather than going for a third party that might have a little bit different viewpoints and stuff like that.
Mackenzie, thanks a lot for the call. Again, I think this is something a lot of people might agree with, Eric. They might sympathize more with a third party or independent candidate, but see a lot at stake in a 2024 presidential election and vote with that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, imagine for a moment that you are a member of, say, the Green Party that is often considered to be to the political left of the Democratic Party. If you are somebody that identifies or affiliates with that party and you go in to vote on election day, you have a choice. Do I want to kind of vote my principles and what I'm really feeling and who I best identify with? Or do I want to throw support behind the closest major party that may not be my favorite, but is definitely my preferred of the two options? So that question of voting strategically is something that all voters have to wrestle with. And I very much appreciate that for 2024, there are a lot of people in that category of, ooh, do I kind of pinch my nose and vote for the lesser of two evils? Or do I want to make a statement on my ballot to say I'm unhappy with the options presented to me?
Thanks a lot for that call. Eric, I want to throw something at you. I read a piece by, it was Tom Nichols in The Atlantic saying, hey, we're putting too much focus on the president. It's an important race, yes, but if people want to make a difference and maybe promote certain causes, certain principles, they should be looking at local elections, maybe even nonpartisan elections where the two-party system isn't even part of the story. I think in the United States, the tendency is for us to vote less and less in those local elections. What do you think of that idea?
You know, it's funny when you look at the number of cases that the U.S. Supreme Court hears every year versus the number of cases that lower level courts hear every year. It is such a tiny fraction that's actually decided at the federal level. Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. A lot of the day to day stuff, whether it's potholes or school taxes, are happening at a local level. So I absolutely concur with that idea. People should be paying attention to local and state issues as well. That being said, the presidency does matter when
sure.
it comes to things like war and peace. And I can appreciate that there's a lot of media attention that goes to kind of the straight to the top and people consider it important. But yeah, don't forget the rest of that ballot when you get lower down.
Eric, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Be well.
That's Eric Lapp, Associate Professor of the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater. He was with us today to talk about the influence that third-party candidates can have in presidential elections.